Maimer that the Rebbe delivered on Shabbos, Parshas Balak, the 7th of Tammuz, Tavshin Dalad Mem, the equivalent to what we would call 1984. It opens with the words of Bilam's awareness or realization about the Jewish people. He said they can't be cursed because Matayvu Ehalecha Yaakov. How good, he said, how good are your tents, Jacob? Mishkanisecha Yisrael, your dwelling is Yisrael. V'yidua hadrush ala pasuk zeh v'lekuta Torah. There is a known drush, an exposition on this pasuk, which is found in Lekuta Torah from the Alter Rebbe, which we call the Chassidish Parsha. And the Rebbe notes on the outside of this maimer that it has many glosses from his grandson and ultimate successor, the Tzemach Tzedek, and that this maimer is printed in Eir HaTorah, which is the maimarim of the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Rebbe speaks about here the notion of Atera Zekeinu Pnei Bonim, and so on and so forth. And he talks about the unique and special connection between the Tzemach Tzedek and between the Alter Rebbe. And he mentions in passing that this maimer that he's going to talk about has a history to it. And the history is that the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy. He was orphaned, his mother had passed on, and the Alter Rebbe kind of raised his grandson like a child. And he used to have, Rebbe doesn't say all these details, but just alludes to the story, he used to have little potato tefillin that he would play with. He was a little boy. And once the Alter Rebbe was saying a maimer in his room to a small coterie of Hasidim, and the Tzemach Tzedek was playing with his potato tefillin. And one of the Hasidim was thinking that this kid is really annoying, and he's disturbing our concentration. In the middle of the maimer, the Alter Rebbe says, Erhert, Duvezen, he hears, you will see. Many, many years later, the Alter Rebbe had already gone to his eternal reward. The Mittler Rebbe, his son and successor, had also passed on. And now Hasidim had turned to the Tzemach Tzedek, and they were petitioning him to step into the position, and he didn't want it. And at a certain point, the Tzemach Tzedek finally agreed, and then he said a maimer. And the maimer he said was this maimer that he heard as a little boy. And then the Hasidim said, there's like a long, deep history over here. Anyway, the Rebbe kind of alludes to the story. And he says that this maimer was at the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, when it was demanded of him to be mekabel the nesius, and the Tzemach Tzedek recited the basis of this maimer, well, obviously with his own original additions. So that's the background, that's the history of this maimer. Now, in Eir HaTorah, over there, about this maimer, he brings a pirush, he brings an interpretation from the Maggid of Mizrich on this pasuk. And their interpretation goes as follows. It says, Ma toivu, how good are oihalecha. So an ohel represents one kind of, you could say, framework, one kind of reality, and then Mishkan Esecha represents something else. So the Maggid says that oihel nikra diras arei. Oihel is called a temporary dwelling. K'meshikasov, like it says, ve'eyem is halech ba'oihel, that I will go or I will move and journey in the ohel. O mishkan nikra diras keva. Mishkan refers to a permanent dwelling. As we know that the word mishkan comes from the terminology v'shachanti b'seicham, I will dwell amongst them. And this refers not to being somewhere in a transient fashion or moving through and a journey, but rather Sheikhan Be'efen Kavua, that he resides or rests in a permanent fashion. So this is what he brings from the Maggid of Mizrich. Now the truth is the Eir HaChaim says something very similar. The Eir HaChaim says that Matevo Eholecha, he said that refers to the Mishkan of the desert, which was in a state of flux, it was moving. And Mishkan Esecha Yisrael refers to Yerushalayim, and it refers to Beis HaMikdash, which is a permanent dwelling place. But at any rate, here, the Maggid doesn't speak about Mishkan versus Har HaMoriah. He just says that there's this idea of a transient dwelling and a permanent dwelling. And this then is the meaning of Matovu Ehalecha, that Ehalecha, your tents or your transient dwellings, are Matevu Ehalecha Yaakov, And then Mishkan Yisecha, which refers to permanent dwellings, now it says Yisrael. So the Magid analyzes, the Yankov, Oisius Yud Ekev, the name Yaakov or Jacob, stands for or can be broken into two individual words, Yud and Ekev. Shemoyre, which is indicative, Avachinas HaEkev. And of course, that's how Yaakov gets his name, because Yaakov is holding on to the heel of Esav at the time of birth. So that's how the name Yaakov came about. Masha'enken Yisrael, conversely, the name Yisrael, if it identifies itself with a particular part of the body, it's not the heel, but rather Yisrael is Oisius, Yisrael can be scrambled to spell Li Rosh, to me a head. Shemayda al Bechinas HaRosh. Veloistam Rosh, Elo Li Rosh. Li Rosh, to me a head. Rosh Yisrael Kadosh Baruch Hu, euphemistically speaking, so to speak, the head of God. V'hainu, so in other words, that is to say, that this pasuk, or really this half a pasuk, refers to two extreme poles. On one hand, the Ekev, which is the idea of so to speak, the heel of Jacob, Yud Ekev. Ah, the Reisha Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Jacob's heel to God's head, so to speak. In other words, an enormous range that's covered in this pasuk. And that's the meaning of Ahalecha Yankev and Mishkan Yisrach Yisrael. The Zesha Ish Mi Yisrael. The fact that you might have a member of the Jewish people, Nimtza Bebechinas Yankev, that he will find himself in a Jacobite state, Hu Inyan Shal Arai, this is ultimately temporary. So if a Yid finds himself in a less than perfect spiritual state, where the metaphor that you would invoke is one of a heel, then that's a temporary thing. But when we speak about the real permanence, not the transient reality of the here and now, what you see now, but what it really is, the permanent reality is Lidosh. And even though there's a temporary reality and a permanent reality, and one is Yankiv, and one is Yisrael, one is indicative of a heel, and one's indicative of a head, God's head, from Jacob's heel to God's head. Al Shneim Nemar, on both it is stated, Matoivu. The Matoivu refers to both. It's not Matoivu Ehalecha, Yaakov. How good are your tents, Jacob? And then Mishkan Yisecha Yisrael. What Mishkan Yisecha? What about it? So really and truly, the words Matovu refer to two things. They refer to Ehalecha, Yaakov, how goodly are your tents, Jacob, and Mishkan Yisecha, your dwellings, Yisrael. Matoivu goes on both. So about both of these reality, the temporary and the permanent, the transient and that which is here to stay, for both of them we have the words matoivu. V'hainu sheim toivim, that they are good. V'yesh b'chinas ma. It comes along with the level of ma. Okay, so this is like the Rebbe adds, in kol ha-pirushim shebedavar, with all the pirushim, we could spend the rest of this little time we have now speaking about the meaning of ma. But very, very briefly and simply, the name of Yudke Vavke could be spelled out in a number of different ways. And when we call about Shem Ma, we speak about the name which has the equivalent, the gematria of 45. It refers to the concept of what we call bittul. It refers to a certain masculine element within divinity. It refers to a humility within divinity. It's a, let's just say, it refers to a very, very lofty level of divine energy. So ma toivu means ma, not just ma what or how, but rather mem hei, the conjunctive form, which represents a whole slew of spiritual reality. This is basically a digest of the teaching of the Magid. The Tzemach Tzedek in Eretz Yisrael then explains, so what does this mean? Where are we going with this? Transient and permanent, and both HaToivu and both HaMa. What are we talking about? So he says, Zeo HaHefresh, this would be the distinction, Ben Kvias Itim L'Teira. When we speak about Torah study is supposed to be done not in a transient manner, but rather in a permanent manner. In a permanent manner means it would say a person studies Torah, even if they study Torah for a small amount of time, quantitatively speaking. But the quality has to be such that it's kviyas itim, it's a set time, it's an established time, it becomes something which is affixed. And this is in contrast to Bali Asakim, to the idea of those involved in business, commerce, the comings and goings of life, in which you do lots of mitzvahs, lots of good things. But all those good things that are being done are kind of in a, you know, it's like a, I don't want to say hit and miss, but it's, you know, hit and hit, but it's like you're doing something good here and then you're doing something good there. It's not what life's really about. Kviyas itim l'Torah, that's who you really are. When you're learning Torah, when you're studying Hashem's Torah, that's when you've come into your own, that's when you're realizing your fullest potential. When a person is doing good things, the Bali Asakim, they're involved in business, in commerce, in transactions. So, you know, every moment is a frame onto itself, and it's an opportunity to do something good, but it's not per se the permanent and true reality of who a Yid really is. So one is the permanent reality of Yid, and one is the transient reality of Yid. Both of them are necessary. It's necessary for a person to study Torah diligently, assiduously, and with a sense of permanence. And it's also necessary to deal with the reality that comes your way and find a way to sublimate it, turn it around, and make it into something holy. So this is the idea of Bali Asakim. So we have Bali Asakim in comparison with the idea of Limud HaTorah, Talmid HaChachamim. One represents transience, one represents permanence. Now, So we have a Torah of the Magid talking about this idea of permanence and transience versus permanence, and we have the way this gets interpreted into the difference between the general approach of doing mitzvahs and making the world in which we live a godly and a holy place, and of fixing set times for Torah study. V'hineh. Afterwards, the Tzemach Tzedek writes, Shekavonas hadrush matoivu shebelukut ha-Torah einikein. That even though this is what how the Magid explained Matayvu, that the Alter Rebbe in his Maimer of Likut of Matayvu is not saying the same thing. Ella. Pirush Pasuk Zeh, the way this verse is interpreted and understood in the Maimer Likut HaTorah, while P is based on Mashakosu V'yasisa Yerias Izim La'ohel Ala Mishkan. It speaks about the Mishkan that was built by the Jewish people in the desert that was taken apart and put together for the entirety of the 40 years. And what's the actual ohel? The ohel was the tapestries or the various coverings that we used that were spread over the boards that were lashed together, and they created the actual enclosure. So it says that you make yiries, you make these coverings which are woven from goat hair, and that serves as an ohel, that serves as a covering on the Mishkan. The yiris sheish, the yiris that were made of linen, nikrayim b'shem mishkan, they were called mishkan. The yiris izim, but the yiris that were made of goat hair, nikra b'shem ohel. V'hinei, ha'hefresh b'neim, the distinction between one covering, which is found in Rashi, by the way. Rashi says that the word ohel and mishkan refers on, depends on which covering. There were three coverings, actually. So the different coverings were coverings of linen, coverings of goat hair. Now, the difference between them is sheyirias hamishkan, what we call yirias sheish, hayu b'mispar eser. It was impossible to create a piece of cloth that was as long as the entire Mishkan. So what they did is they had smaller cloths, and the smaller cloths were linked together. There were little hooks on one end, little loops on the other end, and the loops and the hooks were put together, and they had all these separate sectional pieces, and the different sections together covered the entire length of the Mishkan, all individual sections. So the yiriyas that were made of izim, the yiriyas that were made of sheish were 10. There were 10 different sections that were put together. Masha'enkin yiriyas izim, however, the goat hair which was on top of the cloth, that was b'mispar yudalef. That had 11 sections. So that kind of covered more. There was the initial covering. When you came into the Mishkan, if you were in the Mishkan itself, you would look up. That's what you would see. You'd see the Yiras Sheish. And then there was on top of this a goat hair covering, which was covered over everything that was underneath. And therefore, it was one section longer. So we have 10 versus 11. All right. So when you study the Chumash, it's not controversial. It's just matter of fact. One is the inner cover, which is smaller, and one is the outer cover, which is larger, which covers over. But from a mystical perspective, the fact that one is 10 or 11 is extremely meaningful. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Likutei Torah, the Mispar Yud Aleph Remez La'Avedas HaBirurim Miklipas Noga, that the number 11 is indicative of the kind of work that one would do to extract holiness from what's called klipas nega. So God creates the world. In order for God to create the world, he has to conceal his light. If God's light, if God's presence would be available, we would be eclipsed. We wouldn't be able to exist. We wouldn't feel independent. If we don't feel independent, we have no opportunity to do mitzvahs. We cannot be involved in what we call proverbially avodas Hashem, the service of God. And so when God creates reality, there's some reality which is so dark it cannot be turned around. We're not capable of extracting the sparks of holiness. Only Mashiach can do that. That's called Shalish Klipas Atmeis. That's called the three grades of impurities that are irretrievable. And then there's something called Klipas Nega. Klipa means a shell. Shells generally are shed and thrown out. Nobody eats the eggs with the eggshells. You crack the shell, use the egg, you throw out the eggshell. You crack the nut, you throw out the shell. So all the reality Hashem created, why did he create it? For us to throw out. Don't eat that. It's supposed to get rid of that. So there's stuff that's all shell, can't be used. And then there's certain shell, which is like a shell of light, which means if you work with it, you'll be able to turn this into something positive. So that could be, for example, like the skin of the chicken, which enough paprika becomes edible, or maybe the people use orange peels today or things like this to create candy. So we have this idea of klipas nega. And working with klipas nega, or being able to find the sparks of light and redirect them, when you're working with klipas nega, with the shell of light, that represents the number 11. Why the number 11? Ki yud aleph hem eser kisin de misavusa. We have this idea that there are 10 spheres, and the 10 spheres represent the perfection. The number 10 represents, just like it's a mathematical number, represents perfection or full development of any particular reality. Our neshamas are comprised of 10 different soul powers or elements. All of the holy worlds are comprised of 10 soul powers or elements. And then there's the reality of klipas nega. Klipas nega, or klipa, which is dark. And the dark element has not 10 elements, but 11 elements. And they're called in the Zohar, these are, so to speak, the crowns of filth, because it's filth. It's got to be cleaned up. But once you clean it up, and once you work with it, and once you, like, you know, the gold doesn't come out of the ground like a shiny piece of jewelry. It comes out like a piece of mud. And you have to work with that garbage, and you have to burn it with tremendous heat, burn off all the toxins, until eventually, from a large lump of ore, you end up with a little tiny bit of actual gold. So this represents the idea of the klipas nega, and this is the eser kisin, these 10 crowns, so to speak, of misavusa, of filth. And this is connected in Bechinas Levoina HaMakefes Alehen. This is connected to the Ketoret, which have 11 different ingredients. And the 11 different ingredients include the idea of the Levoina, which, so to speak, brings it all together. V'lachein. And therefore, Hemiriyas Izim. That's what they represent. That's why the 11 sectional covering is the covering of Izim, of goat hair. The Gama Izim Meramzim B'inyan HaChoshech. Because goats can also be symbolic of darkness. How do you get that? Well, Kemay Merazal, there's this teaching of our sages, which we say, Mai Taime Izi Mazgim Beresha. Chuli, why is it that we start off with the goat, with the goat hair? And the answer is, Bereisha Chashecha, that we start off with darkness. Every day starts off, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. First you start with darkness, and from darkness you move into light. So Yirias Izim is the outer layer. The first thing you encounter is the Izim. That's what you start with. And from there, you move into the concept of light. Who elevates Klipas Nega? Who elevates the everyday dog-eat-dog challenging world in which God's presence is not easily and overtly revealed? We do. Yeah, we do. Which part of us?
The goof.
A Yaakov part. Then we have Yaakov and Yisrael. That's the heel. That's the heel. The heel that goes into the shoe. That's the heel that's boots on the ground. That birur is Ayidei Bechinas Yaakov. Yaakov is Yoyrid Levar. Yaakov represents the Yid who has to lower himself into the everyday world. And dealing with the everyday world, he's got to do what has to be done. Mashenkin Yiris HaMishkan. But then we go, after you get to the outer layer, you get to the inner layer, you peel off the outer layer, and you get to the level of the Mishkan, which this is the Mispar of Eser. This represents, here we have 10 sections. This is Reim Zayis, this is symbolic of Eser Svidis, the Kedusha, of the 10 soul powers, which are all good. don't require any engineering per se, or at least you don't have to burn off or get rid of any toxins. Like we learn in the Pirkei Avot, which is recited, of course, during the summer, and we learn that Basarim Amaris Nivra Ha'Elam. This was last week's Pedik. We say with 10 utterances, Hashem created the world. When the Rebbe said this maimer, that was the Pirkei Avos recited that day. Ela She'inyan Alekus Shavayilav Ubechinas Helam. The thing is that even though God created the world, God concealed Himself within the world, and therefore we have to prove the presence of God. We can analyze reality and we can see God's fingerprints. When you finish dusting things up, you notice a compelling narrative that is impossible to simply be accidental. What they call in the modern scientific language the Higgs-Bigson God particle. So yes, you find God, you look for God, until we get to the point of emunah, which actually is transcendent of human reason. What's the chiddush of Mishkan Esecha? That in this world, not only can we find an oihel, not only can God be found in a temporary way, which means you're dealing with the world tries to bring you down, you overcome worldliness, you do what's right, you created a moment of light. Boom. There's a moment of light, an explosion of light. You achieved something holy, something positive in the world that rejects godliness altogether. And one might think that is the description of dealing with the world. There's constantly moments in which you can experience a sense of elation and elevation, a moment of holiness, a moment of clarity, a moment of godliness. But those are moments. Those are moments in this world. It's a level of Yaakov. It's a level of Ohel. But the chiddush here is, Bilam said he saw not only the Jewish people could do this in a transient fashion, but rather, that the world could not only be an oihel, but the world could also be a mishkan. That's bechinas eses fidus. Which this aveda is lemaila me'aveda sabirurim. This is higher than the aveda of what the Arizal would call tikkun olam, or fixing the world by extracting the sparks and redirecting them. In that way, you're taking a world which is broken, a world which is unwholesome and unhealthy, and extracting the little bits of holiness that are embedded within it. But here we're talking about something else. Here we're saying that not only the world can have moments of holiness, but in fact the world could, there is an avodah within this world of permanence in avodah Hashem. And that's not Bechinas Yaakov, that's Bechinas Yisrael.
And is that before Mashiach?
It's alongside. So basically, the Mimer, we're running out of time here, but the Mimer continues with two distinct realms in Avodas Hashem. That in our service to Hashem, there's Torah and there's mitzvahs. Torah is permanent. Torah is not revealing the little the points of light. When we're learning Torah, we are learning Torah. We are permanently engaged and engrossed with godliness now. And when a Yid learns Torah, then a Yid is involved in holiness in a permanent fashion. When a Yid is utilizing the world to do mitzvahs with the world, that's a temporary encounter. It doesn't leave a lasting impact. You can't change the world forever until Mashiach comes. And both are necessary. On one hand, we have to elevate ourselves, and we are permanently carriers of holiness, and that's the idea of Yisrael, Lidosh, that every Yid is intrinsically loftier and higher than the reality of this world that could try to bring him down. And conversely, every Yid has a responsibility to involve and engage himself with worldly matters and try to make holiness where holiness doesn't organically or naturally or easily exist. And that's the concept of the temporary things. So there's a permanent reality for us and a temporary reality for us. The permanent reality for us is the study of Torah. The temporary reality for us is the performance of mitzvahs. Bilam took a look at us and he said, wow, I can't curse these people. These are the people who are matovu alecha. Look how good it is when they work with Elam Hazeh, when they try to make holiness where holiness wouldn't be found otherwise. Look how amazing it is when they devote themselves to the study of Torah, matovu, how good, alecha Yaakov, and Mishkan Esecha Yisrael. And both are true, and both are necessary. And we have to engage in both, and every one of us has a level of Yaakov in him, and a level of Yisrael in him.
But mitzvahs, don't they accumulate, aren't they permanent in the...
There is holiness that's engendered somewhere. It's like a bank account, it says. Munach bekufsa. It's put away, you know, you make a deposit. But the material world, you know, you do a good thing, you got the world to agree, what happens the next day? It's like right back where you started from. it's like nothing was ever accomplished. Anyway, this is just the opening volley of the Mimer. But Hopefully that's a little bit inspirational for everybody, and it gives us the strength to carry on and do the avodah that Hashem expects of us. And with this, we can go into Shabbos. So good Shabbos to everybody. Thank you for joining us today and all week. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be zoichet to the permanent Shechina Lamata in a way we can all see, feel, and know at the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira, b'yameinu. Amen.